You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
12 minutes past 4 and it's time for us to... hello, Jeff.
Hello, Unicorn.
It's the highlight of my week, it really is. Yeah. I know. Lovely to see you.
Yes.
No, lovely to see you.
Couldn't you tell your face that? I mean, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Eyes are smiling. Eyes are smiling.
Are they?
Yeah.
Is this what you're seeing?
I'm seeing a bit of love in your eyes.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
It shows you how you can misread people. Okay, yeah. So it's good to have you here this afternoon, as usual, and you brought to the table, well, it's Valentine's Day, so yeah. You pretty much were locked into this one.
Pretty much, yeah. It's a bit of a thing.
The psychology of heart. Oh, love. And understanding its power. This is what you brought to the table. I'm going to just listen to this one.
Well, you see, this is Valentine's Day. So let's just talk about this for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, while we're busy discussing. You're either a believer or a non-believer in Valentine's Day. I'm not saying to do with love, but Valentine's Day, some people see it as a marketing, you know, way to market flowers at 3,000% increase using the emotion to sell. And others feel it's a day that, you know, you can get together and show that special person you love that you love them, and you buy them some flowers, do it on residual over 5 years, and then buy them some chocolates as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So are you a believer or a non-believer? Be careful what you say now because you have to go home.
Somebody asked me the other day if I had a date for Valentine's Day. I said yes. February the 14th.
Okay, that says it all. Let's move on. That says it all. Let's move on. I've never been brave enough to not bring home some kind of chocolate or something. Never really been brave enough. Mm. Although I've hidden it. Brenda, you know I hid it, and you only got it this morning before you flew away. So that's fine.
Hold on. Before she flew away. So Valentine's Day, she flew away.
Yeah.
Smart girl.
Guys, she's clever. She's clever. She's... Brilliant. Anyway, there we are, and there it goes, and hopefully she comes back. Well, this is good. So, psychology of love. What is love, actually? Okay, so it's an extreme feeling of attachment, affection, and need. So it's quite dramatic, love, as well. That sudden feelings of attraction can be there as well, and respect. That can also be love. So love's a lot of things. A fleeting emotion of care, affection, and like, and a choice to commit to helping someone or respecting someone and caring for another person, such as in a marriage or having a child, or a grandchild even. Mm. You know, there's lots of love, not only romantic love. And research in many laboratories and research centers around the world clearly show that love, material or maternal or romantic love, being different forms of the same love, is a psychological motivation like a hunger or a thirst. So we all need to be loved, or sleep. So we all need, and it's not only emotional, it's also physical. So we'll talk about a bit of physical stuff when people say it's chemistry. It actually is chemistry. So love has fascinated researchers for decades as well. So it's a powerful, complex emotional and physical experience. And it involves changes in your body chemistry. So we'll talk about a bit of the neurotransmitters there, the brain chemicals that happen as well, because that's what makes it such a powerful emotion, and physically powerful as well. It impacts your social relationships in varied ways, affecting how you relate to others around you as well. And there are many types of love, the love you share with your partner, or your family, your friends. There are different versions. It's an emotion of a strong affection, tenderness, and devotion towards a subject or an object. You might love being on the radio, or you might love doing something else. It's not only romantic. We think of love, we think of it as being only romantic. But when you love a person, you experience a pleasurable sensation in their presence. And you should, because otherwise there's something wrong there. And you're sensitive about their reactions to you as well. So your body heightens, and that's all about the chemistry. So feelings of love help us form social bonds with each other. As social creatures, these natural chemicals develop to help us survive by encouraging support, mutual support, reproduction, of course, and cooperation. So it seems like so much more, though. It just seems like it's a crazy big thing, and we're chasing it all our lives. Calling love an interaction of brain chemicals doesn't quite describe how you feel. And we're going to talk about falling in love and loving somebody and falling in love. I'm going to look at the differences there as well. And it can warm your heart and your soul, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you look at your grandchild, it warms your heart and your soul, not so?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very good. Okay. So there are four types of love, okay? So mammalian attachment bonds. There's a pair bond. There's bonds between parents and the infants. There's bond between peers. And there's specific bonds or bonds between individuals of the same species. Now, we're getting very scientific here, but we are a species. We are mammals, right? And this happens with mammals. So if you know about dolphins, they're in a pod together. This is connection as well. So it's all about connection. For example, the love you feel for a close friend could be classed as a peer bond. A romantic relationship is a peer bond. And it can start as a mutual attraction, of course, and it can evolve into love over time. So if you're on social media and on your messenger, somebody says, hey, love you. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. I'm trying to con you. Okay. Just mentioning it, just throwing it out. Okay. All right. So what are the physical effects of love? Love can do more than help you bond with another person. It can even impact your physical health in a good way. So love may affect your immune system in a good way. In a 2019 study, they found that falling in love resulted in the immune system changes, and similar to protective viral infection responses. So love does a lot of things, and these chemicals help you. It might also safeguard against cancer, according to a 2021 study that found tissue from pair-bonded mice was less likely to grow tumors than tissue from mice with disruptions in their pair bonding. Now, they're very interesting. So those single people out there, remember, this is not always not so good for your health. Good for maybe for your mental health, but for your natural health, maybe not. Can you control falling in love, Richard? Can you control this? This is a question. You might feel like you have no control. So you walk in, all of a sudden you see this girl and this guy, and oh my word. Okay? But, heard it first on Zone Radio. According to research, love is an emotion that you can regulate as well. So the regulations can be situation selection, where avoiding or seeking situations based on how they make you feel, avoiding those. Distraction, you can distract yourself. I don't want to fall in love with that person. I don't feel like it. You can do another activity and it takes your mind off it almost. Expression suppression, hiding how you feel. You don't say anything, so you won't get any feedback on that. Or cognitive reappraisal, where changing your thoughts so that you feel your feelings change. So your thoughts change, no, I don't. You can change your mind. You don't have to fall in love. We allow ourselves to fall in love, is the research. So there's an American psychologist called Dr. Robert Sternberg. He talks about the triangular theory of love. And he talks about intimacy, which is the emotional side, commitment, which is the cognitive side, and passion, which is the physical side. So each domain represents a corner of a triangle in his theory. And the theory accounts for seven different kinds of love based on domains which are involved. So we look at these seven types. They are liking. You might like somebody. It's emotional intimacy. There's infatuation, where passion is the key of that component. There's empty love, which is a lack of passion or intimacy or physical intimacy. There's romantic love, where you're romantically involved in another person and you share physical passion and emotional intimacy. And then there's companionate, which you are committed and emotionally connected, such as a best friend or a family. And marriages can also be one of these. And the passion is gone, but you still share the commitment and the emotional bond. So that is also love. Fatuous love, you've been swept up by passion into an engagement or a marriage without emotional intimacy. And that is fatuous love as well. And then there's consummate love, which is the love, the goal for many when they envision marriage or spousal partnership. This is everything. It includes everything. Commitment, passion, and emotional intimacy. Okay, so love comes from very many forms as well. You can love more than one person. do you think? Yeah, you can, of course. You can love your wife, your family, your mom, your dad, your grandchild, whatever, your children, in very different ways as well. Emotional intimacy is present in many relationships, but not all. And the same is true for passion and commitment as well. So, here's a question. How do you know you're in love? How do you know? Okay, so yeah, this might trigger a few people. Okay, oh yeah, that's happening to me. Your thoughts return to that person quite regularly. So you think about that person all the time. That's one way you know. You feel safe with them. Life feels a little bit more exciting. You might want to spend a lot of time together. You might feel a little jealous of other people in their life. And that's quite normal. And you might feel compassion for them, caring compassion. So looking at that, and then what is the difference between loving someone and being in love with someone? Okay, so falling in love can be very exciting. So it's exhilarating, but over time, as you know, the feelings sort of dwane, and they may change to something more mellow and calm. And this doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong in the relationship. You know, some people think, oh, well, we've lost that 3 months sort of excitement, you know, it's all over now, the honeymoon is over type thing. But that's absolutely normal. And if you're looking for that excitement all the time, you will go through a lot of relationships because there will be a lot of three-month relationships happening to you because you don't think that's working. Oh, I don't have that feeling anymore I had. So romantic love is a goal for many people. And over time, you might find yourself thinking, I love them, but I'm actually not in love with them. And that is absolutely normal. Loving somebody instead of feeling in love with them illustrates how feelings of love evolve. So your love is evolving with that person. That connection is evolving over a course of the relationship, especially in a long-term relationship, which you know a lot about. So one of the questions is, can you be in love or love more than one person? It's called polyamory, especially when it comes to the physical intimacy thing. There's a whole thing, but that's another program altogether. I'm not going to go there. So what is it like to be in love? So being in love generally refers to those intense feelings that you have, Rich, you know, that take over at the start of a relationship, that first part, you know, the infatuation, you're happy, you're excited, you're nervous, you've got the stomach, you're sexually attracted to the person. And it, you know, you feel charged and euphoric around them. Now, here's the interesting part about the chemicals. It's all about chemistry, they say. Well, they're absolutely right. When you fall in love, your body produces a cocktail of chemicals. So in dopamine for wanting more, noradrenaline for excitement and focus and attention, testosterone for sexual interest and drive, drop in serotonin, and that can cause a low-key obsessive feeling. And then these chemicals make us feel happy, giddy, energetic, euphoric, and youthful. You can be young again. You know, just fall in love with Judy again, and then it'll all start again. Rich, the first 3 months. Come on. So, sexual hormones such as testosterone and estrogen also play a part in boosting your libido and leading to those emotional, physical feelings. Other key hormones are oxytocin and other things as well, and they promote trust, empathy, and other factors. So you also can't wait to see them again. You can't wait to see that person. How do you know you're in love? Everything's exciting and new. And you always make time for them. They're a priority for you. You don't mind making sacrifices. The physical side, the intimacy side is amazing. And you idolize that person. So it is normal to focus on somebody's best side when in love. You don't look for the red flags. You just see, oh, this is amazing. But it's also important to watch out for the red flags. It is important. Now, what is it like to love a partner? Well, that's a little bit different, maybe. You're secure in the affection. You don't feel the need to hold back on your opinions. You see and accept the good with the less than the good as well. You see both sides. And then intimacy might require a little bit more effort there. The relationship takes a bit more work. You feel deeply connected and committed to that person. So is one better than the other? Well, I don't know. So it's perfectly all right to feel a bit relieved to know your hormones have settled a little bit. So after those 3 months, that honeymoon phase, as we call it, it's a good thing. Don't see it as a bad thing. But some people prefer that excitement of being in love, and they make mistakes there. They actually can even go for a breakup afterwards when they're not feeling that euphoric stuff again. And others prefer the intimate, deep connection associated with a long-term love. So many people work towards long-term relationships for this absolute reason. So what you want out of a relationship may make one seem better than the other, but healthy relationships are possible with either. So that's important. Watch out for the divorce thing. Don't get fooled by your chemicals into going for a breakup or a divorce. Can you go back to being in love with someone if you've been in a long-term relationship? Of course you can. So you can rekindle, you can go to a counselor, but you can also take some of these tips as well. So here are three tips that you can do to rekindle that fire again. Maintain an interest in their thoughts and feelings. Don't forget to check in with them every day. Ask them how they're doing. Prioritize the time together, including the intimacy. That's very important. Those date nights are very important. And don't forget maintenance tasks. Think of your relationship as a car. You need to go to work, so you need to have it oil change. You need to have it looked at. You need to rotate the tires, so you need to do that in a relationship as well. Get it sorted out. And that's pretty much it. And if you're not sure if you're falling in love, well, here's exactly how you know. All right, so here's you want to share your world with them. Okay, you they're always in your thoughts. You're dying to know if they love you or not. That's a big one. You feel like a teenager again. There you go, Richard. And they become a priority. You crave them, actually. You even find their quirks attractive when they do something silly or they wear something silly or they make you feel better about yourself. You're ignoring other people around you. You just focus on that person. You feel the love everywhere. You walk around. You're suddenly talking to people you would not have normally spoken to. You're on this little bit of a high, and you even have a conversation with a crabby neighbor. You know, this is a bit weird, and you're kind of freaking out a bit, actually. And their traits become your traits. You want to say those three big words. You want to say them. And friends are beginning to notice, hey, you're looking different, you're looking perky, you've got a smile on your face, you're red in the cheeks, and you see a future with that partner, and the most problem sign you're falling in love, it feels right, it just feels right. And that's it, and there we go, and now we can have just a general chat about your Valentine's Day. We leave Valentine's Day out, but just how you feel about that, how you feel about this love and rekindling the thing. I think it's very important, don't you?
I do think it's very important. I think that the most important thing about love is don't verbalize it unless you're prepared to express it.
Yeah.
Now, there are, you mentioned so many different kinds of love, and this is now a throwback to my theology days, but there are three, some people would argue four, types of love that are quoted in the Bible. Okay, now I'm going to go through those just quickly. The first of them is a thing called Eros love, okay? And that's romance.
Yep.
That is romance. Then you've got a thing, then you've got a thing that is called philia, okay? And that is called a kind of brotherly love. That's a kind of expression of how you feel about, you know, a comrade, someone that you work with, a friend, that type of thing. Then the fourth one, which is maybe being sort of subdivided from this thing of brotherly love, is a thing called storge, which is family love within a family. And then, of course, you've got agape, which has got this whole sort of connotation about religious love and love of God. But those four things essentially are managed by you and how you interact with other people. And as far as I'm concerned, this is going to sound really odd. The less romance there is, the better the chances of enduring love.
Yes, I think.
Okay.
Yes, if you think about it a bit more deeper, that is true, although it builds a friendship. The friendship will break, the romance stuff will break before the friendship breaks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all of those four elements that I just mentioned, all four of those would be, well, I would argue all three, but I would, you know, most people would want to include this spiritual. Agape, the spiritual love. All four of those things need to be present in a relationship with your spouse, your partner, your love interest.
Yes.
All four of them need to be present there, whereas only one of them needs to be present in the others, if that makes any sense.
It does make sense.
Okay,
it,
so if you're going to have a relationship, I mean, I've got a very good friend in you, and I've got a very good friend in Mark Jaber. I love the guy. He's, you know, I would walk through hot coals for him as I would for you. That is based on a love, but it's based on a brotherly love.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But I would also walk through coals for Judy.
Absolutely.
But that is based on more than just a brotherly love. So I think when we're talking about the love of a partner, whether it's your, you know, your wife, your husband, whatever, okay, those four elements need to be present.
Yeah.
In balance.
Yeah. Well, there's the word.
Okay, in balance.
There's the word, balance.
And you've got to then deal with it that way. And when you look at those elements, there is very little, very little room for lasting romance. Mm. So romance is something that I believe should punctuate a relationship, okay, with your spouse or partner. It is not the same thing as taking your sister for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It needs to punctuate the relationship, but not necessarily dominate it. And I think therein lies a problem with a lot of relationships. When the romance dies, so everything starts to fall apart because the foundation isn't built on those four elements.
Correct. And people need things. So somebody wrote in there. I think you're making a huge point here. You're making a huge point here because if you're only going for the physical intimacy, it's going to bomb out somewhere along the line.
The measure of it for me is this, for me, because people will tell you, everybody that knows me will tell you that Valentine's Day, give it a miss. Mm-hmm. When it comes to romance, I'm not that person. You know, you could probably count the times on your hand. In fact, you probably wouldn't need an entire hand that I've given somebody flowers. Okay? Because for me, there's no logic. For me. Other people different. For me, flowers die. I'd rather go and spend three times as much on something that's going to last than a flower that's going to be dead in 2 days. It just doesn't make sense to me. But where the measure is for me is, what am I prepared to do for that person?
Ah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And what am I prepared to sacrifice for that person?
Yeah, sure.
And when it comes to those relationships, and I say to those people, okay, I say to Judy, I love you. I say to Rob, I love you, brother. Or I say to Janet, okay, mm-hmm. or Mark, mm-hmm. okay, that love means something.
Yeah.
Because you are verbalizing a certain element of the four, but one is reserved for all four.
Yeah, but it's individual, because somebody might say "I love you" and it comes across, and somebody else says it, like you, and you can feel it. So you can feel the meaning in it. So yeah, it's a very complicated thing. I was talking the other day to Brent. I was talking about it and saying, this relationship thing, it can be all clinical. You know, you can read out a whole lot of stuff and you can say this about relationships and love and how we feel about each other and whatever. But it's complicated. Because it changes all the time, and people are different. Individuals are different. I don't know anybody who loves harder than you do. It doesn't mean bringing flowers and chocolates and all of that kind of stuff.
For me, Jeff, it's about, what am I prepared to overlook?
Yeah.
What am I prepared to? And this is just me and you talking. What I, and for everybody, I think the measure is different.
Yeah.
And I look at somebody that I love or don't love as what am I prepared for that to do for that person? And part of what that doing is what am I prepared to overlook?
Mm.
Am I prepared to, you know, deal with the fact that they get late, to get to meetings late? Because the relationship is stronger than that thing making it a stumbling block.
Mm.
I'm just using that as a stupid example. Yeah. So it's, what am I prepared to overlook in that person because there is something much deeper and a much deeper relationship that shouldn't be troubled by trivia.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it, and what am I prepared to do? Now, if I say to somebody, I love you, okay, that means that at 2 o'clock in the morning when their car is broken down on the road to Beaufort West, then they phone. I'm not thinking twice about getting up and going to help them out.
Yeah.
Somebody I don't love, well, maybe not so much.
They wouldn't feel that you were, they were able to phone something like
exactly.
that. There are not many people that you can do that with, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's all about nurturing respect with somebody, because respect is a huge part of loving somebody.
Yes, it is. But there are also people that you can respect but don't love.
That's true, of course. Yeah, absolutely.
So I think to me that is what it's about. And it's going to sound odd coming from me, okay, a sworn atheist, so to speak. But to go back to the biblical reference, well, essentially it's not a biblical reference, it's a Greek reference, okay? It was the Greek understanding of these emotions. And to go back to that eros, storge, philia, and agape, and look at that and keep that in balance, in the right balance with the right people, for me, then it works.
Yeah. I think that's why it's important to have these conversations, because we go from month to month and day to day, and we in these relationships. I mean, there's no class you do at school to teach you about this stuff. Or, you know, so it's important to listen to the podcast that other people are talking about. There's some great people talking about relationships, and they can talk for ages and ages. I mean, you can talk about all kinds of things, but if you learn something that makes a little difference in your life with your relationship or how you communicate with your partner that makes them feel more loved or more respected or more that you are more committed, that's an important discussion to have, and that's an important thing to talk about. And so we all need to come back to the basics and the balance of it and how we really feel about things and be honest with ourselves and our partners. But have the conversation and understand that these are chemicals. You know, I said earlier on, you know, it's all about chemistry when you meet somebody. Yes, but it's chemistry in everything about relationships. Our body is a phenomenal thing. And so many of these, we just take for granted, and I'll just leave the kids behind and whatever. Divorce is a big thing. We're going to have a couple of programs about it this year as well. I think it's important because people are going through nonsense and thinking about it and maybe going through it and have been through it, how to get out of it. And, you know, it's all about balance and understanding about you and working on yourself as well. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love someone else.
Exactly. Yeah. I also want to just say this as a footnote. I don't think that divorce destroys love. In my experience, it hasn't been the case. I mean, my ex-wife and I love her dearly, okay?
Yeah.
Whether she feels the same way about me, I don't know, but it's immaterial, okay?
Yeah.
Because I think that in a lot of these instances, even if it is one way, it's a good thing. And the other thing that I don't believe is a cornerstone of love is the physical aspect of it, because that to me is very temporary. That burns out quite quickly, and, you know, circumstances beyond your control can take that aspect away from it. So I think that to go back to that, I think it's Corinthians 13 from my study days, somewhere in there, that you're going to find those definitions and understand them and keep those in balance. I know in the Bible they talk about three. I see that there's a fourth one that is coming into the equation now. But certainly in Corinthians 13, I think they talk about three. And I think that those definitions and those understandings and how you balance those, I think it's very important if you are going to succeed at love.
Yeah, and it's a big job to go. It's a career move. So be careful. Be careful out there, people.
So that's my view.
Well, everybody, enjoy your Valentine's Day.
Yes.
However way you show your love, enjoy it. If it's a hug, you know, remember one of the most intimate things you can do is hold someone's hand. I also said before, you can't touch your partner's feet in bed, your relationship's in trouble, so you need to rekindle it and make it well again and go out and do it and don't ignore it. You know, get back in there and make it happen. And that's it.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Wonderful, Richard. Thank you
very much.
Love
you, brother. Go home now.
Love you too.
Okay.
Bye.